So just the Mara on Baruch Shem, Solom Bet. You turn to Tosfos Daf Lamed Tes, and you will see that what is the function of saying Baruch Shem. So how does Tosfos say it? Vayomer Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Solom Behed Mishum Dahava Bracha Lubatala. Why do you say Baruch Shem? Because since you said a Bracha Lubatala, you're going to say Baruch Shem. Okay, but now contrast that for a second with the Yerushalmi. You guys saw the Yerushalmi in front of you or no? Maybe not. I'll read it for you. So the Yerushalmi says, it's on the second side of the Torah, if you remember. So the way Yerushalmi says it is, why do you say Baruch Shem? Amar of Tach Mar Yudan Sarach Amar Baruch Shem Kamach Pesolam Be'et Shlo Lahazgir Shem Shemayim Levatol. So that you do not say Shem Shemayim for naught. So that's why you're saying Baruch Shem. Is that what Tosfos said?
No.
What did Tosfos say?
You're not saying a brachal of it.
What?
You're not saying a brachal of it.
Tosfos said, you said a brachal of Atala, but say Baruch Shem anyway. That's how you have, I don't know, what are you doing according to Tosfos? Are you fixing it? You said a brachal of Atala, and now, you might as well say this pasuk. It's a nice thing to say. According to Yerushalmi, it sounded like, no, saying Baruch Shem makes it not a brachal of Atala. And if you don't believe me, look at the Rambam, Dalet Yud, if you have it in front of you, otherwise I'll read it, and it's a short sentence, you don't have to worry about it. But the Rambam Dalet Yud, where he brings down the whole din of the Yerushalmi, is also about how the Rambam learns the Yerushalmi also. It's a different thing, we're not talking about that. But the Rambam talks about Baruch Shem Kamach Solom, but it says, Kidei Shalo Lahotzi Shem Shemayim Lebatala, like the Yerushalmi, so you don't say Shem Shemayim Lebatala. So what we have here is a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos about what the function of Baruch Shem is. According to Tosfos, Baruch Shem doesn't really help you that much in terms of the Bracha Levatala that you said. You said a Bracha Levatala. You're going to have to do tshuva for that Bracha Levatala. However, you should say Baruch Shem because it's a nice thing to do. At least, you're recognizing the greatness of Hashem. But you said a Bracha Levatala. According to the Rambam, which it seems to be based off the Pasha Pshat and the Yerushalmi, is that no. Your Baruch Shem makes it not a Shem Shemayim Levatala. You didn't say Hashem's name in vain, you didn't make a bracha in vain because you have now said Baruch Shem. So how does that work? How have you fixed the bracha by saying Baruch Shem? So again, we're not going to spend too much time because you guys haven't seen most of the Makoros. Just want to point out a few things to look up if you want. Michlas Asher and Devar in Shmos Simon Lamed has a whole read on this, what the Nafkamina between whether you say like the Rambam and Tosfos is. So you can look there if you want to see some Nafkaminas. And the Rav has a discussion in the Shirim, in the Shema Shirim here, and also in Shavuos, I believe, where he talks about the distinction between, is there a distinction between saying Hashem's name in vain and saying a bracha in vain? Are those the same thing, or are those two separate things? He's assuming, at least according to some poskim, that it's two separate things, that there's a difference between saying Hashem's name in vain versus saying a bracha in vain, that it's not you would think that saying bracha in vain is because you're saying Hashem's name in vain, right? That's the isser, that's the problem. But he says, no, it's an isser b'fnei atzmo to say a bracha levatala has nothing to do with the Shem Shemayim levatala. That's what the Rav argues, based on the distinction between how the Rambam formulates the bracha levatala and the Shem Shemayim levatala. So you could look there to analyze that a little bit. And the way he explains what the tikkun of Baruch Shem is that for Baruch Shem, what is it doing? How do you fix it according to the Rambam? So he says that the bracha has to be chal on something. Right, so let's say Birchas HaMitzvah. Your bracha has to be, or Birchas HaNenen. Your bracha has to be chal on something. And then the thing's not in front of you. It turns out that you didn't have an apple there. Or, like our case, the apple fell on the floor. So your bracha wasn't chal on anything. So what you're doing by saying Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ve'ed is you're praising Hashem. What you're saying is, Ein Hachanami, I wanted to make this bracha on something. Now I didn't. And all it is, it's a praise of Hashem for the fact that there is such a thing as an apple. Or there is, it's always good to thank Hashem. So what you're doing is you're changing it from a bracha, your original intention was to make it a bracha that's chal on something so you can eat it. Now, you've changed that intention to just make a general praise of Hashem. That's how the Baruch Shem makes it not a bracha levatala. You can look see how the Rav says it if you want to look into it further. But it's just an interesting way of explaining it. Fine. That's just the 5-minute spiel on Baruch Shem. Again, we're just being holistic. What?
What all that is.
I say if you want, I'm not going into it. You have to look at, again, I showed you some of course. You can think about it also. The goal is just to be more over the idea. And then in terms of the halacha l'maisa, what to do when you say baruch batala, you know, so I assume you saw in the rush that wasn't the mar makom, so if you just say baruch atah Hashem, then you finish off on dein hu kecha. So this way you're not saying a bracha, you just said a pasuk. Baruch atah Hashem l'mdein hu kecha is a pasuk. And actually on that note, the Chavetz Chaim Sharon has an interesting discussion where he came up with a chav that based on that, so why can't, so what do the poskim say? So if you say baruch atah Hashem, finish off on dein hu kecha, what happens if you say baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam? So it's too late, and you have to say Baruch Shem Kivu Malchus Olam Ben, right? Either it's too late and you made a Baruch Levatala according to Tosfos, you have to say Baruch Shem, or it's too late and you say Baruch Shem, and at least according to the Rambam, you fixed the solution. But, or you fixed the problem. So, first of all, to point out, Michal Sasha says it's still a problem according to the Rambam, there's still something wrong with it, but you can see there how he says it, and I can't find my Chavetz Chaim Sasharon, here it is. Okay, so Chavetz Chaim Sasharon thought of a new thing, which the poskim don't suggest. There's a pasuk on Devarim, page Yud in Devarim, if you want to look it up. So the pasuk says in Devarim, Hashem Elokeinu Dibur Eleinu B'chor Leimor Rab Lachem Sheves Barazet. So the pasuk starts Hashem Elokeinu. So he says, so what's the problem? Start Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. So you're saying now it's too late. I already said Elokeinu. He says no. Say finish this pasuk. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Dibur Eleinu B'chor Leimor. So what's the big deal that you said the words Baruch Atah? Right? You said Baruch Atah. Okay, Shabbat, you said the word Baruch Atah, but that's a separate thing. I said Baruch Atah. Now I'm saying Hashem Elokeinu Dibur Eleinu B'chor. So he's catching you, he's giving you another word, another option. Not just Baruch Atah Hashem you can fix by Mdein HaKacha, even if you say Elokeinu, you can fix by finishing off this pasuk. So he asked, Yonah Dioma, for those who are going to see Rechaim Kanievsky. So he asked him, and he asked another rabbi, Rabbi Fisher, and, does this work? So they said yes. They thought that they didn't think of it, but they thought that it was a good idea and that it should work. So he was bothered. So why didn't anybody say it until him? So he said, and this gets back to what I think you asked me yesterday. So one of the other postmen called who didn't say like him. So he said that perhaps that since you started off thinking that you're saying a bracha by saying Baruch Atah Hashem, you can't just transition into a pasuk. It's not as easy to transition to a pasuk, but then you ask, what about the date of the kappa? I don't know. Either way, you can look into what he says, but he gives you another option. If you want to just finish off Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, you can finish off Dibur Eleinu B'chor of Lemor, Rabbachem Shev Barazeh, another pasuk that you should probably memorize if you want to fix it. Devarim, beginning of Devarim. Perak Aleph, pasuk Vav. Aleph Vav and Devarim. Okay, Ad Kan Baruch Shem. Now let's finish up the Berak Menachem Miyado, as we discussed yesterday. I'm not going back into the Rishami now, because trying to fit all the Rishami to the Rishami, we basically covered it. There were some loose ends on that point that we didn't cover, but to go back into it now, I think it'll just be a little bit confusing. I want to sort of just make it simple for now and go into a little bit of the Lamdas and the Halacha L'maaseh. What we saw yesterday was that there are three Shitos. What are the three Shitos? Number one is the Rush. What does the Rush say?
But your actions define your...
Right, so when I'm holding something, when I'm making a bracha, my bracha is chal only on that, and anything else, even if I have das on it, it doesn't matter. If I drop this thing that's in my hand, I have to make a new bracha. What about the Rabbeinu Tam? Right, so Rabbeinu Tam says, depends on your das. If you have das, if you have active das on other things, so your active das can cover other things. If you don't have active das, then no, it's only chal on the thing in front of you. And the Ravid, we said, what?
Anything
that's in front of you, it's chal on anything that's in front of you. So those are the three basic opinions. Again, each opinion perhaps is a little more nuanced if you look it up, but that's the way the post can present it. Yeah.
For the Rosh, if you're holding an apple in each hand and you want to eat the one on the right, you make the bracha, drop the apple in your right hand, can you then eat the one in the left hand without making a new bracha?
Probably not, but I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody talks about it. I'm saying your fact that's in your right hand probably designates that for the one in the left hand. That's a good question. Okay, so now, so what's the lamdas? So we pointed out yesterday that, right, it's not that it's only the bracha's only chal on the thing in your hand, la fuke everything else, and then you can't eat everything else, because after you make the bracha and you did eat, let's say you didn't drop it, you did eat the fruit, you would be able to eat the other fruit, even according to the Rosh. Right? So what's the pshat? How do you understand that? So the Bar Halacha explains, and all the Achronim pick up on this, as follows. That basically, a bracha is not just a matir per se. You say a bracha, and now you're allowed to eat. right? It's more than that. The bracha that you're making is chal on a fruit, or on a food that you're making the bracha on. The bracha is chal on that thing, and once you eat that thing, then you're allowed to eat everything. Right? Then you're allowed to eat more. So it's not just that I'm making a bracha, and once I make the bracha, that's it, I'm allowed to eat whatever I want. No, it's more than that. You have to have the bracha on a chafsa food, and that once you eat that chafsa, then you can eat that food and any other food that's covered by that bracha. So, again, it's not that complicated of a point, but it's an important point. It's just slightly different than we might have understood. It's not just that the bracha is a matir, or it's a hodah of Hashem. It's more than that. The bracha has to be mitzarif to a certain food. Once you say that, now the machlokas can be understood, at least on a level of das, right? What is the machlokas between the Rush and the remaining time of the Raivin is what das, what when you the bracha is bichal on that food, so what food is it chal on? Is it only chal, according to the Rush, on the thing that's in your hand, and it's not possible to be chal on anything else? Once you pick it up, the bracha that you're saying is only chal on the food that's in your hand, lafuke everything else, and therefore if it drops, you have to make a new bracha. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not true. The bracha is chal not just on the food that's in your hand, but the bracha can be chal on anything that you have das for, not just the food. So anything you have das to eat, the bracha is chal on all of that you're about to eat, and therefore, even if something drops, you can make that bracha chal on a different food. Then the Raivid would say the bracha is chal on everything that's in front of you. So if the thing drops, the bracha is still chal on everything that's in front of you, and therefore you can eat any of that without making a new bracha. So again, it's not a complicated point, but just adding to the discussion the fact that you need this point to understand the machlokas, that the bracha is not just a matir, it's a matir that has to be chal on a specific food, and the machlokas, the three machlokas, is just what is the bracha chal on? Is it only chal on what's in your hand? Is it chal on anything you have das on, or is it chal on anything that is in front of you? So that's the machlokas between the Rush, the remaining time, and the Rav. And if you read the Bar Halacha carefully, he explains that pretty explicitly. And if you look at the Shammai Nisan, he has a discussion about this. And most of the Achronim explain like this. Now, based on this, I just want to take it a step further. So there is a sefer that is kedai to get to know, especially if you're going to YU, even if you're not going to YU. And that's Eretz HaTzvi. So I remember the first time Rav Eisenstein told us to look at it, I think it was, I don't remember which piece it was on, but I think it was on Binyan Mitzvos, Enos Mitzvos, Chavilos, which you're going to do on the next daf. It comes up on Lama Tessam and Beis. Right? So I think he gave it to us. I remember learning it with my chavrus, and I remember trying to go through it and having no idea what it was talking about. It's not an easy sefer to go through. Just it's not easy bedtime reading unless you're used to the style. So it takes some work. So I remember the first time I did it was very difficult. And after time, you put time into it, you can figure out the style, Rav Schechter style. This is written by Rav Schechter. So within the piece on Ein Osim Mitzvos Chavilos, which Rav Eisenstein may or may not give to you next week. There's a little bit of an intro to it. So in the piece, there is one footnote, or one idea, and one footnote, where he talks about our Tosfos. And basically, what he says, based on the Rav, is that it's within a larger context, so I'm sort of cutting out the larger context and just putting in the point that I want to address, is that he says that Eina bracha chala el ala prusa rishona shuocha, like we're saying, the bracha is only chal on the first thing that you're going to eat. So what about the rest of it? What about the rest of the food? So he says, Vashar mutter below bracha. The rest is mutter without a bracha. You don't have to make a bracha on the rest of it. So you make your bracha on the chefza that's in front of you. Again, machlokas Rush, Raivid, remain of time, Raivid, on exactly what the scope of that is. But you make the bracha on that food, you eat that food, and now the rest of the food is mutter below bracha. The way the other Achronim say it, seems to be saying a similar thing, maybe it could be a colleague in some way, but the way the Shabbat says it at least, and the way the other, I think it could be even the Mishnah Berurah says it, is that it's nigrar acharav, right? You make a bracha on the first thing, and the rest of the food is nigrar, it's sort of drawn, it's dragged after the first bracha that you make. So you make the bracha, you eat the fruit, the rest of the food is dragged after that fruit, and therefore you don't have to make a bracha on the rest of it. And again, the way the Lashon of Rav Schechter is vashar mutter below bracha. The rest is mutter without a bracha. So based on this, he understands the idea of chaviv, and even we could extend it to pasnu v'kara, to bring everything full circle from the first two shirim that we did. Right? What was the whole chav about pasnu bakara? What were we arguing about? You had to make the bracha on this bread and then cut it. So what was the big deal? Right? Why, let's say it was a machlokas, let's say within Tosos. So it was you make the bracha on the small pieces and you make the bracha on the shalom. Rip it according to the rip. You make the bracha on the small or the big. Who cares what you make the bracha on? And who cares? I'm gonna eat both of them, let's say. So who cares what I'm gonna make my bracha on? So what do you say? Yeah? Right, so that's but keep in mind that's based on this yisod, right? You want the bracha, since the bracha is being chal on one and the rest are gonna be poter through that one that you're making the bracha on, you want the bracha to be chal on the best one. And Rav Shachter says it, he compares it to hiddur mitzvah. You're making a bracha on the best one, that's a hit or mitzvah. Your bracha's on the best one, and now the rest are going to be poter through the one that you made the bracha. That's the big deal. That's why you want to make the bracha on the shalem, or on the big one, or on the chavib one. You want to make the bracha on the one that is the best, al tzidur mitzvah, and then the rest are going to be poter through, you're not getting the bracha on the rest, through the bracha that you made on the shpitz one, on the best one. So it's a din of hiddur mitzvah, and it's all based on this yisod, that your bracha is on the first one, and the rest is nigrar, after the first one that you make. Okay, so now we're going to take it one step further. Is everybody with me until now? One step further. There's a Tosfot, and Rav Shachter quotes this in the footnote here in source number 5. Shlomo Nissen also has a piece on this. He doesn't quote this Tosfot, but he quotes a different idea, which I'll tell you in a second. So there's a Tosfot in Chulin on Daf Pei Zayin, where the Tosfot is Mesupak. What's the din if you speak between shchitas? Right, you're shafting a lot of animals, and you speak in between shchitas. So you have to make another bracha on a subsequent shchita that you make after you speak. So Tosfos 1 compares it to tefillin. Do we on the one side compare it to tefillin and assume that sach ben tefillin and tefillin, you do have to make a new bracha? If you speak in between your tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, you would have to make a new bracha. So are we going to compare shchita to tefillin? Or Tosfos suggests perhaps we should compare shchita to food, right? You make your bracha hamotzi, and then that's it. No more talking for the rest of the meal until you finish all your food. Or no, we talk in the middle of our meal, right? So even though we have a bracha that we make in the beginning, even though we have a bracha we make in the beginning, we don't have to repeat the bracha on a different food if we talk in the middle, right? The bracha at the beginning covers the whole meal regardless of whether you talk or not. So again, so Tosfos is suffix, what do we compare shlita to? Do we compare shlita, if you talk in between shlitas, do you compare it to tefillin, where you would have to make a new bracha in between, if you talk between your tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh? Or do you compare shlita, the brachas that, right, you're making one bracha in the beginning of shlita, and then the rest that you're going to shef, that's covered by that first bracha. So if you're safin, shlita, shlita, do you make a new bracha, or do you not make a new bracha? Do we compare it to tefillin where you would, or do we compare it to su'uda that you wouldn't? Yeah. Okay, so excellent. So why would Tosfos ever have the Havamina to compare it to Birchas Hanen? If it's Birchas Hanen, why compare it to Birchas Mitzvah? Shchita, Birchas Mitzvah, you should compare it to a Birchas Mitzvah. So good, but I want you to think deeper than that. Okay, so think deeper than that, though. You're right. But what, besides for just as titles, let's compare one title to the same title compared to a different title. Think about it in lumdus. Why would I compare one to the... Why would you say that... So you're saying the same thing by...
Food.
By food. Okay, so you're saying why you would have a habmiya to compare it to food. So you're chazering on your question and you're understanding the other side of it. Okay, good. But let's think about it some more. So why else would you either compare it or not compare it? Which one would you decide to compare it to? Yeah.
For a bracha on the food, you have kavana to be both there every bite. So for the shechita, for every shechita, kavana with the first one.
You had kavana for the first one.
Let's say you had kavana for the first.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. Let's keep going. Anything else?
If I make the bracha, it's kind of one thing. It's extended. Think about it.
So where is that?
It's not by food.
And what about shkita?
You say it's the bracha chalal on this cow.
It's on the first. It's only on the first mitzvah.
Anything else? Okay. So this is what the Rav says, and you'll see this in Shalmanis, and also he makes a similar argument. It's also in the footnote in the Ritzvah if you want to check it out there. He says that. Oh, first I'll give you a second question. The way Shalmanis presents the question is that I think there's a pisuk tshuva in Yoredeya. We talked not about talking between shlita, but let's say. Right. Exactly our case about the Nafal Miyado. Let's say you make a bracha on a shtita, and before you shech the first one, you realize that it's a trefa. So berech v'nimsa trefa, which is the same thing as berech v'nafal miyado, so what's the din of berech v'nimsa trefa? So the Achronim say, lo ba'i bracha yamrini. You don't have to make a new bracha. So then you have to ask, so what's the difference between that and berech v'nafal miyado? Berech v'nafal miyado, we say, at least according to some poskim, you do have to make a new bracha. According to the Rashi, you do have to make a new bracha. So why in Shechita, Berech v'nimsa trefa, do you not have to make a new bracha? Okay, so those are the two questions. What are the differences between Shechita? Basically we're asking, what's the difference between Shechita and the bracha on food? So,
It's been going with Cheder Mitzvah and Shechita, both the who you're choosing better, but and we're not choosing which one you prefer to chef.
So, Cheder Mitzvah would apply. So, do you have to pick the best animal to chef first?
That's why you can replace it with any animal.
Maybe, Okay, it's a good point. So let's see what he says. So the Rav says like this. He says, "Yesh makom gadol l'chalik bein berachas hanan and bein berachas mitzvah." There's a big reason to distinguish between berachas hanan and berachas mitzvah. What's that? The berachas hanan in berachas hanan, like we said, like the same as so, like you pointed out, that the first prusa, the brachas chal on the first prusa, and you don't have to make a bracha on the rest of it. Right? Because it's nigra after the first one. Therefore, we don't care if you talk in between the food or not, because once your bracha is chal on the first food, and you ate that first food, you do not have to make a bracha on the rest of the stuff. You don't have to make the bracha. If you don't have to make the bracha, so I don't care if you talk or not. It's not that I have to make a new bracha, and therefore, but I'm putter from the first bracha. No, I don't have to make a new bracha. Once I don't have to make a new bracha, who cares if you talk or not? So you make your bracha, it's chal on this food, you eat the food, the rest of the food is putter, you don't have to make a new bracha. Therefore, who cares if you talk? But when it comes to berachas ha-mitzvah, he says that each maisa mitzvah needs a bracha. That really, in reality, in theory, I guess, you need to make a bracha on each shlita that you do. Each shlita, in theory, you would have to do that. So is that what we do? Do we make a bracha on each shlita? No, you make a bracha on the first shlita. So what's pshat? So it's not that you make the bracha on the first shlita, and therefore then you don't have to make a bracha, like by food, that you don't have to make a bracha on the rest of the food. By shlita, you do have to make a bracha on the beginning, you do have to make a bracha on the second and third, and the fourth and the fifth shlita. But the pshat is that any time you made the bracha on the first maisa mitzvah, you don't have to make a bracha on the rest of the mitzvahs because it's mitztarefes to the first shlita. So basically, it's like the pshat that you were suggesting before, is that by shlita, I make a bracha on the first. I really have to make a bracha on the second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth, etc. But the first bracha I make covers the rest of the bracha.
So there's a nigra and a mitzvah.
Right. So it's not nigra after the first bracha in the sense, what it's not that I make a bracha on the first one and I don't have to make a bracha on the rest. Really, I do have to make a bracha on the rest when it comes to shlita. Just that the first one that I did potters the rest of the brachas because it's nistarif to the first bracha that I made. So the first bracha that I make covers the rest of it, but really I do have to make a bracha individually and each shlita just covers each one. Therefore, if I talk in between each shlita, so there's a hefsek, and the first bracha that I made no longer covers the rest of the shlitas, and I would have to make a new bracha on the subsequent shlitas.
My parents would say that you wouldn't.
No, we're talking here about once you already ate the first, your bracha was chal on something and you ate it. you ate it. That no Rishonim would disagree. No Rishonim would disagree. Okay, they're dinin and hefsek and hasen hadas, but that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about here that the first bracha that you made covered, and once you make the first bracha, and by fruits, by berachas hananin, you do not have to make a bracha on the rest, not because it's been starring to the first achtila. Is that once you make the first bracha, and it was chal on the food, and you ate that food, the rest of the food does not need a bracha at all. It's as if there's no iser to eat that with, you know, there's no chiyuv bracha legamre. And therefore, once you make that original bracha, it covers the rest of the food, regardless of whether or not you talk or you don't talk. By shchita, you need the first bracha has to cover the rest of the brachas that you make, the rest of the shchitas that you make. And therefore, once you have a hefsek, once you talk in between the shchitas, then perhaps we would say, based on this, what this Tosfos is specific, at least, the Rav is saying that he thinks it's pashut on that side, at least in Lambda, is that you would have to make a bracha on the subsequent shchitas because there's nothing that's being mitzarif, the first one to the subsequent ones, once you talk. Yeah?
You say that by shchita, your bracha is part of everything, speaking as to that. Oh no, your bracha is part of the first cow. And then the other cows are
okay, right? Right, no, so it's the bracha is chal. The bracha is not, you're making a bracha on the first one, and technically you have to make a bracha on the second one also, just that the bracha that you make on the first one will cover the fear bracha you have in the second one also, as long as it's connected. As long as there's no hefsek in between them.
Your bracha is chal on everything is chal in the
hefsek. Something like that. But it's not that, not that you don't have to make a bracha. The first bracha covers the rest of the shchita that you're going to do, unless there's a hefsek. You have to think about it for a little bit. But that's the way how he presents it. I'll read to you how the Shlomi Nissen writes it also.
Maybe it'll make it a little bit, a little different presentation will
make it a little bit simpler. So it says like this. So Shlomi Nissen says, "Vanira daha de berachas haperos mahani liftor shara peros." So the reason why berachas haperos works to cover the rest of the peros should be in lefana b'charka afshal yu lefana b'shal shemire. The reason, once I make the bracha, it's on the fruit, I can eat whatever other food I want, it's mitam greiru, right? You're dragging it based on the first bracha, the nigrur l'achila rishona, right? And the way the Rav said it was that it's not, that greiru, he says, you don't need a bracha. Right now he says, ma she'enkin, skipping a few paragraphs, ma she'enkin berachas ha-mitzvos, d'chiyuvo levarech al-kol mitzvah u-mitzvah she'osa, lo shayach kan greiru. You have to make a bracha on each mitzvah. It doesn't apply, the idea, the concept of greira doesn't apply da kol yichash of shchita achas. Da re kol shchita mitzvah hi, va kol mitzvah tzarech levarech. Mishum hachi ba'in shiva behemos lefana b'shah shabirech. It's that, no, it's that the, by shchita, each one is a separate mitzvah. Each one is what really necessitates its own bracha. It's just that you need, if you have all the behemos in front of you, and they're right there in front of you, you make the bracha can, I guess, I don't know if you want, this wary of saying it's chal on everything, is that it seems like we're saying it's not, the bracha is chal on, the bracha helps you for all the shchitas that you're going to do, even though each one's a separate mitzvah, each one really needs a new bracha, the first bracha that you make, it sort of covers the rest of the, I'm trying to think of a different, of another example of this that could help us, what about what do you say?
When we start from Kiddush, we can't talk in between.
Right, but that's only one bracha, right? Well, you're making a bracha on Kiddush.
So, when he's coming, when there's a lot of people and he's coming, then it starts to Kiddush, and therefore that's why we can't.
When you're covering,
there's lots of people at Kiddush. Yeah. And then you say bracha to Yitzchak, but then they don't even start. That's what it says. He wants people to start to Kiddush.
Right. I'm saying we're talking here about something that would need really two separate.
If you
will
lose the pair of
sits,
that's it. It's two separate
brachas. You have to do it
for yourself.
I don't think
that's
different people here. I think that's like the same people.
Tefillas Kalim?
What about Tefillas Kalim?
Dip in the
mikvah. So what about Tefillas Kalim? So really, Tefillas Kalim, you do make one bracha on everything, what's pshat in there? You're not supposed to speak. So let's say you did speak, so you have to make any bracha. So maybe that's like shlita. Because by my son mitzvah, you need to make a bracha really on, really you have to make a bracha on everything by a mitzvah. You make bracha on each maaseh mitzvah that you're doing. What's pshat? You make a bracha in the beginning, and that bracha is gonna cover the rest of the actions that you're doing. As long as you don't have as long as you don't speak. Once you speak, there's a hefsek, and then you have to make a new bracha on the subsequent things. By food, that's not the pshat. By food, it's not that each bracha, each fruit needs its own bracha, and that you're making a bracha on the first one, and everything that you're eating is sort of being covered by that first fruit that you ate. And therefore, really I have to make bracha independently on each fruit. But if I make it, but it's covered by the first bracha, but if I have a hefsek, then I have to make a new bracha. That's not pshat. Pshat is once I make the bracha, and it's chal on this fruit, and I eat this fruit, now I don't need to make a bracha on everything else. Not that it needs a bracha, and I'm just pottering it up from the first bracha. I don't need to make a bracha. Okay? That's the way it is. You gotta think about it a little bit, but that's the way it's presented. You're welcome to look in how the Achronim present it. Again, there it is. We have a copy here if anybody wants to see it. And the Shalmei Nissen also have a copy here if you want to see it. And you could also look in the footnote in the Ritva. That's the way he presents it. That's the Lamdas. Okay, so let's go to Halacha L'maisa for a second. It's not gonna take too long. Halacha L'maisa, what do? We have a lot of Lamdas, we have a lot of Machlokas, we have a lot of Yerushalmis, how to fit it into Yerushalmi. So what do we do, Halacha L'maisa? You have something in your hand and it falls. And your bracha wasn't chal on it. What do you do? What does the Shulchan Aruch say? What? Reish Vav Vav. Open it up. Reish Vav Vav. You have your Mishnah Berurah, you can open it up. Shulchan Aruch, whatever it is. Reish Vav Vav. Alright, we're there in Shulchan Aruch. Natzo biyado pri la'achlo. Uverach alav. You made your bracha on the fruit. It's in your hands. V'nafo biyado v'nabad onimas. And it falls and now you don't want to eat it. It's lost. You don't want to eat it anymore. Sarach lachzor ulevarech. You have to make a new bracha. Af al pi shahaya me'oso min l'fanav yoser kishaberach al risho. Who does the Shulchan Aruch paskin like? The Rosh. Correct. Is that what it says on the side? Tur Barash. There you go, from the Yerushalmi. So Shulchan Aruch passed like the Rush. The Haggah, the Ramah. Never silent when it comes to good sugyos. The Ramah says, Rak Shilo Haya Alav Daito Le'achlo. This only applies if what? If you didn't have Das to eat the rest of the fruit. Who's that? Rabbeinu Tam. So here you have the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rush, the Ramah passes like the Rabbeinu Tam, and if you look in the Bar Halacha, he says, don't think the Ramah is not arguing, really he is arguing. Right? Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rush, Ramah passes like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so very good. So what do you do? Halacha L'maisa, who are we? Have half Sephardim, half Ashkenazim. What do the Sephardim do? Say another bracha. What do the Ashkenazim do? It depends if you have Das. If you have Das, you don't say another bracha. End of the shir. Just kidding. Okay, we do not pass them like that. What do you say?
Well, parties are very we'll try to. Okay, so let's see.
Okay, go to the Bar Halacha. The Bar Halacha quotes in the beginning, quotes the Rush, then he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. And again, you should read it inside on your own time to see. You'll see the lumdus in it. You'll see the different opinions in it. Now go to the on Kuf Tazayin on the second page of the Bar Halacha towards the end, around 10 lines up. He says Mikama Poskim in the middle of the line. Mikama Poskim. First one of the line is Munachim. This is after he quotes the Rush in the Rabbeinu Tam. He says Mikama Poskim. Everybody with me?
No.
Bar Halacha on Kuf Tazayin. Right, the Bar Halacha goes over to the second side. So on the second side, on the second half of the Bar Halacha, right, the 10 lines up, the Kama Poskim. Yes, no, maybe. Okay, the Kama Poskim. You can just share with somebody if you want. The Kama Poskim, Muchach Disfirlahu, Daaf Bistama Kevan Shayimunach Hakol Ashulcha Lefanav. Ein sarach latzar levare. Who does the Bar Halacha quote? The Raivin. That as long as it's in front of you, you do not make a new bracha. But who are Raivin? Amukuf Beis Yosef. Because everything that's chal on everything on the shulchan. Rabbi Gershom from Shlomo Hiskim Gam Kain Ibo Kimavur Ba Gemuzer Haba Shabur Leket Sfirli Not Hafanami. And of course the Baralacha, like he usually does, pulls out these Rishonim who you probably didn't see or heard of half the time, but he finds other Rishonim, not mainstream, who do Paskin like this, and he says. Yushami's talking about what's a pshat in Yushami that you only had das, and we didn't explain this in the Ravid yesterday, we should have. What's a pshat in the first case in Yushami according to the Ravid is that that's talking about when you specifically only had das for that terusa. If you had das for only that, so then of course the bracha is not going to help for everything else. But here the Ravid saying you didn't have das only for that, you have das nistama on everything that's in front of you. Umashva the bistamba behind you, I call the fog, I'll shulchan eight tar flaps of the bar, but everything's in front of you, don't make a new bracha. The Chachma Ador Shavi Abu Jarham Kasud Nami Kitavari Shabbat like it. There are other people who held like him. The Gandasa Rambam after the forest came, perhaps the Rambam even holds like that. The Rakashal even Menachem of Fana Bishas Bracha, the tar flaps of the bar, but only if it wasn't in front of you, you have to make a new bracha. But I am a Maganabram Shavi Bishim of Mabit, Shakas of Gamkin. I got another person, the Mabit says that also. The bistamba ain't a close in Ravarin. Who speak brachos lahagel? The shabur paskin sabik brachos lahagel. We paskin like the Ravid, not like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Ramah. We paskin like the Ravid. As long as the things were in front of you, then you do not have to make a new bracha. Oh, so who's we? So you're gonna tell me who's we? Ashkenazim, Berlacha. What about us Sephardim? What do you do? So, of course, what do you have to do? You have to look in. You have to ask a Ravadja. So, what would you say if you were before you asked a Ravadja? What would you say? Safik brachos lahakel. Where do you understand Safik brachos lahakel from? Why are Sephardim so stark about Safik brachos lahakel? Who assumes it's the rest? And who else? What about the Shulchan Aruch? So you're going to tell me that we're so stark us Sephardim on Safik Brachos Lahakel because the Shulchan, the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, Safik Brachos Lahakel. Here the Shulchan Aruch knew that it was a Safik. He knew other poskim. Right? Look at the Beis Yosef. He quotes other poskim. Quotes the whole Reh. And he still paskins L'chumra. Not even like Rebbeinu Tam. He's the most machmir out of everybody. And he still paskins L'chumra. So what would you do in this case? Would you follow Maran, or would you say Sabik Brachos Lahakel? Wow. Okay.
He paskins.
So he paskins. The Sabik Brachos Lahakel. So you're lucky. Ravadja paskins Sabik Brachos Lahakel. So Ravadja has it. If you look at, I'm sure it's in the, it's quoted in any sefer that he has on Brachos, but if you look in the Ein Yitzchak, which is his son, has this whole encyclopedia on how we paskin in general, whatever. So if you look there, he has one essay where he talks about that we even paskin something wrong with Lahakel against the Shulchan Aruch. So here we have Achtos here in Etivare and in Klal Yisrael, both the Sephardim and Ashkenazim, both paskin something wrong with Lahakel. If the food's in front of you, you do not have to make a new bracha. If the thing that you're holding when b'shas bracha fell on the floor, you can the bracha is chal on everything that's in front of you, and therefore you would not make a new bracha. So after all that love, this after everything, the most important thing to remember, halacha maisa, don't make the new bracha suffik brachos lahagel ad kan yisugya berach nafal miyadu. Any questions? Okay, so we have to go prepare a bracha.